Today on Real Radio.
Come to Christ. Listen. Step into the church. Not this church. Step into that supernatural body that Jesus holds dear and true to his heart, the church. Why? He paid an impossible debt for her. There's no other way to heaven. It's through him alone. He gave a sure guarantee.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. As true believers born from above, we understand the word church to describe the new and extended family that we're now a part of. The true church has no buildings. It has no central P.O. box. Martin Luther put it this way, the invisible church. And that's just what our teacher has been addressing in this study called The Life and Times of Jesus Christ and the Church. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
As the Bible says, Bride of Christ. Three divisions. First thing I want you to see, Act 1, so to speak, I'll put it that way. Being born again, Christ, the Church in history. And the first thing is that Jesus came that we would be born again. Born again. It's the conversion of the sinner that is lost in their condition. They're lost in their sin. They're converted by being born again and redeemed. And the position that they now enjoy, that you and I enjoy, is that we are now children of God. That's being born again. Christ, the church in history, when Jesus came, he's the one who said, unless a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of heaven. It came from Jesus. John chapter 20. This is my opinion. I want you to just jot this down. This is his opinion. I believe in John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19, is when the first believers became born again. This is kind of fun. You might get tested on this in your Bible class someday, and you might want to offer this up as a definition. When did people first get born again? You might say at the day of Pentecost. That's wrong. That's when they were first filled with the power for ministry. When did the first of the disciples, or when did the first believers get born again? I believe it was in John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. It says, then on that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, the doors being shut and the disciples being assembled together, ecclesia, church, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them miraculously. And he said to them, peace be to you. Why? Because they didn't have any peace. Now when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Hey, look, you guys, calm down. It's me. Look at my hands. Look at my side. It's me. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. They were born again in that moment. Because we know later on at the day of Pentecost, power came upon them to go out into the world, don't we? Paul taught this, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, says, for as the body is one and has many members, I mean, look around you right here today, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. What a strange thing to say. Jesus is one, yet Jesus lives his life out through many members, you, me. He says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into the body, whether we be Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, having been made to drink of one Spirit, being born again. This is theology. Am I boring you? Okay. Act 2, the birth of the church, day of Pentecost. Act 2 is this. When the church was born, the world knew about it. Those born-again ones, those sinners converted to Christ and made holy by the decree of God and by the sacrifice of Christ, they received the power of the Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit had already come inside them. But on that wonderful day in the book of Acts, Jesus, in fact, told them, you go and wait in Jerusalem. Why? You wait. In John chapter 20, he said, I'm going to send you out. But he didn't say, I send you out. I'm breathing on you. Now go. He said, I'm going to send you out. I'm breathing on you. Receive the Holy Spirit. Then he turns around and says, wait. Wait. Go to Jerusalem and wait. Why? Wait for the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church. Not the birthday of the believer. The birthday of the church. When it says there, he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit, what, comes inside you? No. He's talking to born-again ones, called-out ones, the church. He says, when the Holy Spirit does what? Comes upon you. E-P-I in Greek, to come upon you, to propel you. Isn't that neat? When Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit, the word in the Greek is E-N. Inside you. The Holy Spirit dwells inside you, but he's also come, or also comes upon you for service. That's why you see in the book of Acts that the apostles laid hands on many of those that were to be sent out, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to preach the word of God with boldness, or they had gifts imparted to them, or whatever the case may be. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, concerning this birthing of the church, he says, now on the day of Pentecost, when it had fully come, there were about 120 of them gathered together in one place, in one accord, and suddenly there came the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house. That had to be wild, don't you think? Filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire. One sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The church was born on the day of Pentecost. And the church has a lifespan. Did you know that? It has a birth on earth, and it has a day of its removal on earth. The birthday of the church is Pentecost, and the graduation day of the church, meaning it goes into heaven, it leaves this earth, is the day of the rapture. It was born in Pentecost. It has its end on earth, that is, at the time of the rapture. What we see here this morning is that Christ, the church in history, is that he made, that is Jesus, the ultimate commitment. Simply this, we've covered this in previous studies. Jesus came, draped in humanity, to forever be a man. Wait a minute, Jack, I was told he was a God. He's not a God, he's the God. Jesus is God, come out of heaven, draped in human flesh of his own will, lived among us, died on the cross for our sins, rose again from the dead, and by doing so, now don't think for a moment he thought, well, you know, comparing 33 and a quarter years to eternity, what's the big deal? I'll go down there, do my deal, put my time in. Oh, no. When Jesus came as a man, it was for time and eternity. Did you know that? The Bible tells us that there's a man seated at the right hand of God the Father right now. The man Christ Jesus. That's awesome. That is incredibly awesome to me. He made the ultimate commitment by taking upon him humanity. He became both a lamb, the Lamb of God, and the Son of Man forever and for eternity. What did we read a moment ago in Revelation 5? John saw a man in heaven as though he were a lamb who had been slain. And that is an eternal view. It bothers a lot of people. It shouldn't, but it does. That according to the book of Zechariah, the Bible teaches us that Jesus will bear the scars of his crucifixion and of his beating forever. That's amazing. The Lamb, as though he had been slain. He made the ultimate commitment. Secondly, we see that he paid an impossible debt. Jesus paid for our sins' debt. Did you know this? That in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, and he, that is Jesus, he gave himself for us. That means he gave himself in our place. Well, what's that all about? I wasn't going anywhere. Oh, yeah, you were. Yes, I was. You and I were headed to hell in a hen basket. It was a greased pole. we were walking on thin ice. We had a hole in our glove. I mean, put it any way you like it. We were going to hell. The Bible says Jesus gave himself for us. Why did he have to give himself for us? Because we were going to Hades, buddy. We were on our way to the pit. Jesus steps in. He pays the debt that you and I couldn't pay. Isn't that funny? So why did he do that? Because you and I are such sinners. He paid the debt so you and I could be such saints. I heard this morning on KNX News, driving down here, that the Pope had an address to India. It was at India yesterday, wasn't it? And everyone's pressuring him to declare Mother Teresa a saint. And so he's launched an investigation to find out if she's done at least two miracles. They're investigating that right now. Did you know, and I don't want to upset you, but did you know that's not biblical? Did you know that if you believe in Jesus Christ and you're trusting in him to have sacrificed himself for your sins and you're trusting in his shed blood on the cross, the Bible calls you a saint? Did you know that? I'm not worthy. Of course you're not worthy. That's the cool part about it. So they're searching for two miracles. I'll give you a hint. You can go outside today and lead somebody to Jesus Christ and perform the greatest miracle of all. Jesus says, because I go to the Father, you'll do greater works than I've done. Well, I haven't raised anybody from the dead, but I have had the humble opportunity to lead someone to Jesus. Could that have been what he meant? I think so. Wow. He paid the debt that you and I couldn't pay. He paid for our sins. Prior to you and I coming to Christ, there was like our own personal sin-o-meter in heaven. Man, he was just keeping record. You know this from the Bible, in the book of Revelation. To those who do not come to Christ, they will be judged according to their sins, according to what's going on in their life. And there's a joke. You've heard this joke. And I can tell this joke. I didn't make it up. Pastor Romaine made it up at Costa Mesa. So you can blame him if you don't like it. He said that in heaven, Billy Graham got up there and or saw a vision of heaven. Billy Graham saw a vision of heaven, and Chuck Smith saw a vision of heaven, and Raul Ruiz saw this vision of heaven. And there's this room, and the angels are going in and out of the room, and they're like, you know, got hard hats on, they're checking, recording things down. And they look, and it's a sinometer. And they go in there, and Billy Graham's meter is barely moving. In fact, it looks like it's stuck. It's just sitting there. Chuck Smith's is moving a tiny bit. And Raul Ruiz says, man, where's mine? Where's my sinometer? And they said, it's downstairs. We're using it for a fan. Isn't that great? Now, don't go tell Raul I said that. But that is a cute joke. I think that's really good. Now, you might laugh about that, but the thing is, before we come to Jesus Christ, everything we think, imagine, with the wrong motive we do, it's wrong, 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 sin, 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 and it's like, oh, I don't want to hear this at church. You know what? That meter's running, but there's a way to stop it. Come to Christ. Listen, step into the church. Not this church. Step into that supernatural body that Jesus holds dear and true to his heart, the church. Why? He paid an impossible debt for her. There's no other way to heaven. It's through him alone. He gave a sure guarantee. What do we mean by that? Well, he gave a sure guarantee, meaning this. The Bible says, now he who establishes us with you is Christ, and he has anointed us in God, and also he has sealed us by giving us his Holy Spirit in our hearts. We are sealed. A lot of people bicker about losing your salvation. Can you lose it? Let me tell you something. When God gives something, he never takes it back. Can you lose it? You don't lose it if you have it. If you have it, you got it. The question is, do you have it? Well, you know, I knew somebody who believed for a while, or they were born again. They were Christians for a while. That's impossible. They might have believed for a while, but gave up on their belief, but they never had the faith in Christ and became born again. I don't know why there's confusion about this. If you are born again, you are not aborted. The question is, we need to start asking the right questions. Are you born again? Well, I believe. I don't care if you believe. Are you born again? Well, I go to church. I don't care if you go to church. Are you born again? Well, I'm in the choir. Well, so is Satan. He was in the choir. That's not the answer. The sure guarantee is that the Holy Spirit has been sealed in our hearts. Our salvation is secure in Him. The church. Secondly, let's look to this. The second point is this. Christ and the church presently, right now. We're going to run through these quickly because of time. First thing that we see right here is that Jesus comforts the church. Well, you might say, well, I wish you would comfort me. Yeah, He is comforting you. You're maybe just not listening. I wish He would comfort me, you might be asking. Are you clinging to His promises? I don't understand it, people. Don't ask me to explain it. I can't. But how can the written word of God, how can this Bible, how can this book of black and white pages here bring peace into your life? I don't understand it. I just enjoy it. Well, I want more than that. Well, you know, enter into the church and have it all. But that's the best I can do by way of explanation. Christ and the church presently, He not only comforts us, He directs the church. He directs the church. John 16, verse 3. I love this. He says, however, when He, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it unto you. You want to have direction as a church and as an individual within the church? Read your Bible. It's God-ordained. It's holy anointed. You have a decision coming up about a job? You have a decision coming up about a move? You have a decision coming up about a ministry? You have a decision coming up? The answer's in the Bible. It's in the book. The answer is in the Bible. I didn't have a chance to show this to you this morning. I'll simply quote some things to you. It's U.S. News and World Report, October 25, 1999. The title of it on the front page, you saw Adam and Eve maybe on the cover. Have you seen them? In this U.S. News and World Report magazine on the newsstands. It says, is the Bible true? Question mark. And I love this because they just put out one a couple weeks ago on evolution. How true it is. And they spent the whole book trying to convince themselves how true it is. And it's a hilarious joke. Well, now, this week, because we're getting close to the holidays, is the Bible true? It's got Adam and Eve on the cover. Well, listen to this. It said there's amazing scientific discoveries that speak of the Bible's truth. You know what? Somebody in those magazines have got to put their head on right. Pick one or the other. You know, I think I know which way they're going, don't you? They want to have a theistic evolution, don't they? Cover all the bases. God refuses that option. But anyway, this is fun. Listen to this. In that article, if you read it, I'm going to give you this quote. Yigal Yadin, Israeli archaeologist, stated this. He's not a Christian. He says, quote, we went about discovering the gates of Solomon with the Bible in one hand and a spade in our other hand. That article went on to talk about how incredibly accurate the Bible is to archaeological science. You know what they did? Did you know that until recently there was no physical documented fact that King David existed? Did you know that? None. Until now, they have found inscriptions regarding King David, not only the king of Israel, but being a great warrior, dating back to his time. Do we believe in that because the science now has confirmed it? Or did we always believe it and science finally caught up to it? Huh? Isn't that fun? Well, you might say, well, that's one instance. I'll give you another one. Did you know that there was literally no record that Pontius Pilate was the governor of or in the region of Judea? Pontius Pilate, a Roman official. But did you know that in Caesarea, there was unearthed there a tablet? We've got to see it with our own eyes and hands and everything. On one of our tours, there's a tablet there that has his name and his position. Did you know Caiaphas? You've read about Caiaphas. Remember, he was the clown that had the kangaroo court that had Jesus tried illegally? Caiaphas. No evidence of him ever existing, physical evidence. Guess what? Until they dug a little deeper and found documentation and artifacts of his writing about him being real. Do you believe that now because science has revealed it? Or did the book tell you in advance before the spade, the shovel, caught up in the scientific community? Isn't that neat? So now U.S. News and World Report's got to grapple with the fact that the Bible's true. What are they going to do about it? If that's true, what about the claims when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but through me? Did you know that there was no evidence, physical evidence found of actual, though they have depictions, actual crucified bodies? Until in the last couple years, they found in Israel excavations of preserved human bone with stakes pierced through them. And yet we've always believed in crucifixion, and we heard about it in not only Christian writing, but in non-Christian writing, but now the science has revealed it. It's exciting. Jesus directs the church. He's in absolute control. You don't have to worry about anything. He's in control. Thirdly, on this area, Jesus promotes the church. He's for you. I'm just going to say this, and we're going to go to the third point. He's for you. He's rooting for you. He wants you in heaven. He's done everything he can to get you there. The vehicle that takes you there, so to speak, is the church. It's where you learn about him. It's where you come to fellowship with his people and share with one another. But not only that, it's where you and I go out from this place and change the world. He promotes you. Listen, those of you who are involved in Christian service, you know what I'm talking about. He pushes you. So many people, man, I wish I could do... I'm trying to think of something right now to get your attention on this. Billy Sunder, the great evangelist, used to throw stuff at his congregation to get their attention. Listen, those of you, you've been sitting for so long, I don't know this, you know, I'm a Christian, and you are a Christian. You believe, you trust, you have faith, you're looking to him to get you to heaven, you're not working it out on your own, but you just, you know, it's like, you know, is this it? Are you in your mind asking, is this all there is? You know, it's all there is if that's all you're going to allow it to be. Well, that sounds like a New Age statement. No, it's not. Listen carefully. Will you step out and let God push you along, promote you? I don't mean promote you like make you something. I mean propel you. Well, I don't know, this Christian thing, I don't know. You know, the moment you say that, I know that you're just kind of hanging out. You're not really expressing your love toward him by serving him. Makes all of the difference in the world, you know.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called The Life and Times of Jesus Christ and the Church. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, our teacher will continue in this series with a study that'll clear up quite a few misconceptions. It's called The Life and Times of Jesus Christ and the Angels. Now, before we wrap up today's broadcast of Real Radio, our teacher would like to convey a special announcement.
Hi, this is Pastor Jack, and recently we had a very special guest speaker here at Calvary, Bridget Gabriel. Being born and raised as a Lebanese Christian, she experienced firsthand the terrors of Islamic extremism. And Bridget shared with us some dynamic and exciting things about how Jesus Christ is greater than all the threats that this world can throw at us. So I want to encourage you to go to realradioactive.org and click on there and listen to this very, very timely message by Bridget Gabriel. God bless you.
Okay, once again, that's realradioactive.org, www.realradioactive.org. If you'd like to get in touch by telephone, here's our number, 909-393-7100, 909-393-7100, or write to us. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, any details you may have missed can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.